Save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Pete Euler, right here in Emporia, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Pete and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With Pete Euler, it's easy to switch and save. Just give him a call. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
KVUE News Time is 8:21. Newsmaker 2 time here today. We're pleased to have with us a couple of LCAT's lead people, Shane Bruner and Janice Arb, joining us here on the KVUE Sutherland studio line today.
Janice, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing all right. Shane, how about you?
Never better. Thanks for asking.
All right.
How are you guys?
Well, so far so good, considering it's midweek. Things are on the slide. So speaking of things moving, I guess you could say, Shane, how is, in your terms and in your perspective here, how did 2022 go here for LCAT?
That was a wild ride, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
2021 and 2022 has sure been vastly different years. But overall, it fared fairly well for us. Actually, we're about on par with where we ended in 2021, a little over 30,000 rides. So if you think there's about that many people in Lyon County, we essentially gave everybody in Lyon County a ride once. So not too shabby.
Is that kind of along what you had expected here coming, allegedly coming out of the COVID pandemic, or really did you have any indications of how your numbers would wind up trending here as the year progressed?
I think you're right on par with what I like to see. When you think of it, we've lost some things here in Emporia, organizations that we worked with in terms of, like, we used to do a lot with the dialysis company, and then they are no longer with us. We used to do a big, abundant harvest, and that's not what it used to be. So there's these things, these booming things that we used to work with that we don't quite do as much with, just the nature of post-COVID. But, you know, that number is still staying up there where it usually is, so it shows you the new riders that we're getting, despite having losing some old riders. Emporia's a pretty transient-dependent population.
So anything different that, in a pivot and adjustments that you have done, Shane, to keep the numbers up? And obviously you would like to continue to grow, I assume.
Well, we have done a lot with the county. We now have two county routes, one that runs Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the other one runs Monday through Friday. So that is something that we're really pushing because, I mean, we are Lyon County transportation. So, I mean, we need to be able to reach all of the people that are in Lyon County, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of building that one back up.
I was going to ask about that here, Janice, specifically, you know, obviously, I'm assuming the bulk of your rides come from Emporia and right around town, but have you seen an increased push here for, I guess, rural Lyon County, greater Lyon County, or even beyond?
Yes, definitely we have. Yep.
What do you see as driving that? Is that part of it, the efforts that you're doing, or is that more of a maybe an organic push from outside in as opposed to from LCAT out to the public?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, we've got the information back out there. It was kind of surprising to find how many of these smaller communities that we have in Lyon County didn't know about LCAT. So, you know, I think getting the information out to them and letting them know where all we can take them, including our regional, which right now our regional is huge.
That's kind of the way it was post or pre-COVID, if memory serves correctly. You were really building. Are you back to pre-COVID on the extended routes?
Yes, definitely. I would say we're back and then some. Yeah.
How far are you taking riders now on that regional or the, you know, essentially the extended routes?
I think the furthest one we've done is Nebraska.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I think the furthest one we've done is Nebraska.
So how does the regional route activity work for those who may not be familiar with exactly what you do with your extended routes? Can you tell us about that, Shane?
Well, we prefer that they book them 2 weeks out so we can make sure we have a vehicle and driver ready to go for you. But essentially, they just call in. We have our person that handles all that, April, good at it. Mm-hmm. And they just tell her where they want to go and see if it fits into our schedule. It breaks down to about 42 cents a mile. We'll take you there, and that's round trip, whatever the total cost is. So it's talking like a $25 trip to Topeka. That's there and back, and the driver waits on you. We just need our driver back by, we prefer close of business day. So it's pretty simple and not a bad deal. Like airport, if you don't want to leave your vehicle there and you need to catch your flight, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
So what do you need more than one person? How's that work? Or is this for solo trips as well?
No, there's solo trips as well, yeah.
Okay.
It can be solo. It can be 3, 4, 5, depending on how many the vehicle will hold. I know that when ESU went on their holiday for the Christmas and New Year's, we did a lot of transportation to the airport so these kids could get home and spend time with their families.
That's a heck of a service right there.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is the process for that extended route essentially the same for Lyon County or in-town routes here, Janice? Is just basically call up and you are able to schedule a ride? Or here in town, are you really working more towards scheduled pickups and stops?
It's actually both. We're trying to rebuild the route because I know, you know, during COVID, the route kind of fell off. But now we are rebuilding it. It seems to be picking back up. As far as booking rides in town, it's a 24-hour notice. I mean, we can try to get you booked day of. A lot of times we're not able to do it because, you know, with the 24-hour notice, we have no guarantee if you call same day as to whether or not we're going to be able to do it. But we try to do the best we can as far as that goes.
So how many buses do you have out on a daily basis in town here?
Probably about 6 to 7. Yeah.
And then you have your standard stops at standard times, Janice?
Yes, yeah. Those are the routes. And yeah, we're getting ready to put those on Google. We're working with a company trying to get that information out there so that the rider can actually pull it up on their phone and see where their bus is.
Okay.
Nice. What, Shane, talk a little bit about, too, some of your hiring needs at this stage, because it seems like throughout COVID, you know, among the different challenges that businesses, nonprofits, and government agencies have had is hiring people and keeping people. What's your status on that?
Yeah, I think that was kind of the theme of 2022, wasn't it? Everyone was searching for someone, and it's carrying over into 2023. We definitely can use some more drivers, and we're very flexible. Like, so we have people that just do those regional ones. They come in, they'll drive someone to wherever they need to go, and they don't do the buses. Some just do part-time, some are full-time. So we have a wide variety of flexible type of positions for drivers. But we're in need of them. So if you like to drive, we encourage people to come apply. It's, you know, come right around, listen to the radio, see the sights, and get paid to do it.
Yeah.
Any specific qualifications that you need for your drivers?
Just a valid driver's license.
Nice. What are some of the different challenges that you see, Shane, going into 2023 at this point? You know, coming out of COVID, it looks like your ridership numbers are you know, pretty strong, really across the board. But clearly there are some opportunities and challenges with every given year. What do you see here on the horizon so far now?
Well, the hiring is the big challenge. Your vehicles are great to have, but you have to have someone to man them. And same with the phones. We really like to have a dispatcher that's bilingual. And that's probably a big push for a lot of organizations. We do have that Spanish-speaking population here that we'd like to get back into communicating the best we can with. So that's an asset we want to find. And then the other big challenge is just keeping the vehicles on the road. They are getting a little bit older. We have put in requests for new vehicles, but once again, post-COVID, manufacturing plants just aren't shipping them out as fast as they used to. So we do have vehicles that we typically wouldn't still have for pushing the mileage a little bit farther than we've ever had before. But we got a great maintenance guy, and he definitely keeps them running somehow and to the best of their ability. They're still like new somehow.
Well, they you know, obviously they don't look old because you got the new wraps on them that look pretty good. Yeah.
This is true, yeah.
So,
what's the reaction been to the wraps over the last, what, 6, 7 months?
It's been a mixture, yeah. It took some people a while to get used to the wraps because they were used to the other way that we had it, but yeah, I think everybody's really liking the wraps, and I think the wraps are a huge asset to basically advertising for LCAT.
Understood. What the last question I have for you guys is potential projects that may be or are in the works here for this year and maybe even getting into early 24.
I know Janice mentioned the Google thing. It's called GTFS, which stands for Google Transit Feed Specification. it's a big mouthful for to say. We're trying to get our fixed routes onto Google Maps. And with that, you can kind of it's kind of building the foundation for things that you can do from there. Essentially, someone can just Google our services and find the fixed routes, and they're supposed to be able to see the buses and where they are currently and where the stop times are, and then kind of better plan their day out that way if they want to use the route buses. There is also bonus things that you could add down the line, such as being able to have them plan trips and stuff from their phone, or another asset that we're looking at is being able to possibly mass text customers. I'm learning a whole lot of different things that are going to be valuable to us. So, like, we just had that previous bad weather, those cold -40-degree days, that we decided it wasn't best to run those days, so we had to call all of our scheduled rides that day, which was a big task, and let them know of our closing, and maybe just being able to select everyone that has a ride that day and just send out an automated message to their phone that says, you know, Or any type of promotion, like when we do the canned food drive, when people bring in 10 cans of food and get a 10 ride pass. But better ways to let everyone know what we're doing, what's going on. So I think we're really looking at connecting Emporia, Lyon County, the rider base with the information that we have and kind of pushing it into today.
Well, we touched on the county briefly. I just wanted to delve a little deeper into that. I mean, specifically county towns, do you have set schedules for those, Janice, or is that a call you pick us up routine? How does that work?
That's a call in, and we come and pick you up.
Okay.
It's basically done just like we do here in town, 24-hour notice.
Okay. So there isn't any specific, like, Opie or Americus or...
Nope. It's
Hartford
all of them,
route.
And it's, you can just call in, and we'll get you scheduled.
All right. Good deal. Janice, anything else you wanted to add here before we wrap things up today?
Like Shane said earlier, we are hiring. We need some drivers. We need another dispatcher. Preferred bilingual, but it's not necessary. That's probably just about it. I can't think of anything else.
No worries. Shane, anything else you wanted to drop on us?
I think we covered about all the aspects. I'll think of something as soon as we get off the air. That's the way it is.
That's the way it works.
He's dropped a lot of on us already this morning here.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. Well, you know from past, I'm a talker.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Shane, Janice, thanks so much for joining us here today, and best of luck in 2023 for you and for LCAP.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks,
guys. Appreciate it. Janice Arp, Shane Bruner. LCAT, they're hiring drivers, dispatchers.
Yes. And so if you're interested, be sure to reach out 343-4207 and expect more on LCAT here in the rest of the year. Want to let you know, too, that as we look at tomorrow's schedule, we will have the ESU Buzz at 8:20. We've been told that Nick Robertson, who's involved in diversity, equity, and inclusion, will be our guest. Waiting for the talking points here in just a little bit. We should be getting that here this morning. The Newsmaker 2 then goes to 8:40 tomorrow. League of Women Voters members Teresa Briggs and Bob Grover will talk about a vote tracking project in the Kansas legislature. This is actually year 2 of this project. We'll talk about how it works, why it's in play. That'll be coming up at 8:40 tomorrow.
And our Newsmaker 2 this morning brought to you by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler. At 920 Commercial, providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete to 342-6272 for a quote today. State Farm Insurance Agent, Pete Euler. Good morning. It's 8:35.
The FAA ground stop is being lifted on flights all across the country. Earlier today, there was a computer outage that resulted in thousands.